Yeah, no, it's way bigger than rights. And since time immemorial in banking, you know that people should not spend more than 28% or in credit, you don't even have to say banking, more than 28% on their household, on their home, on their housing expenses. And we just blew all that out of the water in 21. Again, they took out the debt to income, threshold from Dodd-Frank very quietly. You didn't hear much about it. And they just took their foot off the brakes. And so you're looking at debt to income right now on the Fannie books at 2008 levels. Okay, why does that matter? Because if something happens, I just talked to someone who I know, who had been working at the same company for 25 years, thought he would retire there. And out of nowhere, he got laid off. Okay, so everybody who thinks they're going to be just fine, that's not at all remotely accurate. And so, if you have just a tiny life event when your debt to income is like that, it's game over for you. And I am seeing that in client books right now. And so, it's very we did it again. We overextended credit, and people can say, it was tighter credit quality. I say maybe initially, but then people took their foot off the brakes, and also they were using these automated underwriting systems, which you can game, and so many people did. And so, so your question goes back to what is it? Okay, well, it's not just rates. Rates made the payment lower. We've now gone crazy, and people cannot afford their homes, and they can't afford their increased property taxes. They can't afford their insurance, and neither can the people coming behind them. The millennials are in no shape whatsoever to pick up the pieces from the boomers. And so it's not just rates, it's prices, it's rates, it's insurance, it's taxes, it's increased electricity costs, it's a increased replacement costs. So, this was going to happen regardless because people overextended credit.
So you said 28% was the number, I think. I think when I bought my house, I think it was a lot higher. I mean, what mortgage companies allow. I don't know if
Oh
it was
yeah.
40 or whatever. It's
Oh,
just ridiculous. I just.
back end DTI for FHA can go to 56%.
That's crazy. I mean, who's gonna
It's
tell it?
bat
We need people to rescue us
crazy.
from ourselves.
I 100% agree, and I don't think you should be able to Henry Ford credit. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You don't know your customer. You can't go out there and just have these, require you credit is a very, in my opinion, it's something you really have to think about before extending. And you can't just take a cookie cutter, like I was telling you, they're going to do a cookie cutter price reduction to offload these properties. Because the other thing that agencies learned last time is they don't want to hold them. But that's what they try to do on origination. But you miss so much and you don't know your customer. And I've already seen so much fraud, Stephen. We haven't even scratched the surface, man. It's going to be so much worse than last time in terms of fraud. It's everywhere.
When you say last time, are you referring to eight? And
Yeah.
then if you see fraud, can you expound a little bit more on what that means? And we keep talking about it, but where are you seeing
Oh,
it?
everywhere. I mean, and I'm looking at these Freddie Mac multifamily securitizations, and they're keeping me up at night. But it's everywhere. People made up pay stubs. They used AI, and because so you have to understand the mortgage industry is the technology there. One company owns the main origination and servicing system. They recently did that. It's a monopoly. Those technologies were built in the late 60s, early 70s. It's terrible technology. You can't automate anything. And so when you get in a time when everybody is so busy, you miss all kinds of crap. You just make mistakes. And so we're definitely that's one reason it was so some of this fraud got through. But I can't even tell you how many times I've seen things printed out of thin air. What do I mean? Okay, Steve. You're going to pretend like you're going to sell me this house. We're going to do a deed. And you're going to pretend like I paid you $2.5 million for a house that sold last
Who are
time
we?
for
Who are we? Am
just
I
two people, two
two people?
bros. We're
Okay,
two bros.
two
We know each
bros.
other. Yeah, we're two. We've watched a YouTube video. You know, we are real estate investors. Okay. We are, and we are smart. Okay. Obviously very smart. And so you say, okay, pretend buy my house for $2.5 million. I pretend I do a deed. I say that sale went through. Then that sale gets recorded on public record. You turn around and that home might last have sold for $400,000. You turn around, you go to the bank, all that proof. You say, hey, look, I did all cash sale on this. And let's, you can essentially apply for a refinance, theoretically, or apply for a mortgage, and like if it looks like you've owned this thing outright, and they can give you, $2 million printed out of thin air. Out of thin air. And I see this in Arizona, all like, oh my gosh. Like, and because this is the thing, like through social media, all these people have. So fraud just went nuts. Like maybe it was one ring out in California last time or a ring here. I mean, but this information is available to everybody on how to do these things now. And so you're gonna see it. I mean, it's just like what we're watching with our politicians looting the system. Like the system has been looted. That's,
Melody,
but
that does
go
not
ahead.
happen.
Oh yeah, right. So yeah, the system has been looted, but here's the problem. So remember when, the whole was it silver scandal with JP Morgan, where on their balance sheet they had all that theoretically all that silver in the vault and it was sitting there as an asset of how many ever billions of dollars, and then somebody opened the vault. It's not there. Overnight, that's the bezel. Overnight, you're billions of dollars short of what you thought you were. And that's what so many people are about to find out is just how much fraud was in the housing market. And on the multifamily side, Steve, we're probably going to be talking about that for a very long time. It is crazy. So.
We talked about, is it where it's not a fixed rate? Is it what is it called, an ARM? What is
Yeah,
the
adjustable
where?
rate. Yeah.
So is that kind of where people are going to get screwed the most, or what's kind of, is there a kind of rate that's really dangerous? People think, oh, this is a great way to let do more leverage, whether it's HELOC to purchase another property or to go on a vacation. Is there a loan structure that you're seeing that people are maybe misunderstanding?
Yeah, well, so yes, but let's talk about, so they're misunderstanding that fixed rate. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the DSCR, debt service coverage ratio loan, which is used for Airbnbs primarily, and multifamily properties and office properties. So, they're looking at your potential, like can you cover based on what they thought you would make in rent, and those were basically the projections were that rent was just going to go up by X every single year, and that's just not happening. But I don't like in terms of people misunderstood fixed rates, because what people came in and said to them, every realtor and broker and loan officer said, date the rate, date the rate, you'll be able to refi. So it wasn't even that they had an adjustable rate mortgage, not a ton. It's their fixed rate they thought they'd be able to refinance on. And so, yeah. And then the other ones that really concern me, a lot of these, what we call non-qualified mortgages are interest only. They're bank statement loans, meaning you don't have to show you're employed. You can just show the same $10,000 going in and out of your account every year to make it look like you're making money. I'm like every month, which is very easy to do. And so yeah, I'm more concerned. I'm concerned with those who bought late 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, thinking they were going to be able to refinance. And a lot of them did buy downs too. Some were permanent. The builders used primarily permanent ones, but some of the agency loans were not. So, that's, and then those will step up, but they don't look to be like a huge part. It's more that people are just overburdened with increased taxes and insurance.
So people are also misunderstanding the 30-year mortgage. I know that we also looked at the 40 and the 50-year-old mortgage, if that's a thing. But in terms of people buying their houses, like they're starting a family, they're wanting a new home. Who doesn't want the whole American dream, right?
Right.
But what would you say to people? Would you flat out say, don't buy a house right now? Would you say, wait? Would you say, now's not the right time? Would you say, buying a house is never a good idea? What's your mindset on someone who's coming to you looking for advice on how they should approach and think about things?
Well, it's really going to be dependent on their life goals and what that, what they want for their future. And so I'm never going to say don't like if you have the capital, if you have the money in the bank, you have a good job, you have a year of reserves, and I mean that a year, you have a good down payment of 20%, and you feel like you just want your forever home. Then, that is your personal choice. And you're also can accept that you might be seeing a 20, depending on where you are, a 20 to 50% reduction in the home price. Are you okay? And so that's what I asked them. Are you okay with all these things? And it's so funny to me that the people that are very aggressive about wanting to do it, I can get them to the point of realizing it's a terrible idea for like a million reasons. They still keep looking. They still, and then they come to me and they're like, "How about this house?" And I'm like, "Are you willing to lose 30% on this house?" "No." "Okay, then why are you even asking me?" I mean, like, I just like why people put me in the middle of these conversations and they don't want to listen to me. And I'm just like, "Well, then, like, why are you asking me?" So what I would say is if you think you're only going to be in a house for 2 to 3 years, then rent. Like there is just no reason to buy right now. Like that doesn't, you're not saving money. It's cheaper to rent, like significantly all over the country. But it really is a personal thing. And I do believe in home ownership for sure. Just what I don't believe in is overextending yourself into debt slavery. For a home like that, you could go rent for a couple years and maybe longer. And I know it's so unaffordable right now. It would have to be longer to save up for that down payment, but you can get a cheaper, rent than you can a payment. And so that to me is the smartest thing to do right now and to really negotiate on that rent as well. But it's always going to be a personal choice. Just don't get overextended. Yeah.
Melody, I learn from you every time I talk to you. One, you're enjoyable to talk to, but I consider you an expert on the housing market. I asked you off camera, and I want to ask you on camera now, is that what's in it for you? I mean, you're not a realtor. You don't make money off selling homes. So like what motivates you to do this? What drives your passion?
Yeah, and like I said to you, what motivates me is saving that young couple from, making a terrible financial decision that could wreck their family, their marriage, because people fight the hardest about money, and when you have the stress, and often it's young families with new babies that really want to buy a house. And so the most stressful time of your life with a new baby, now you're suddenly a homeowner. But for my parents, when my mom had to go to work in the 70s, because inflation and my father's paycheck could not cover everything, they lost their house. We lost our house. And so I really just want to explain this industry to people, Show them what it is and keep them from making a terrible financial decision.
Hey guys, Andy here. If you like this clip, please click in the show notes below to get the full interview or in the link in the discussion to get the full interview. We launched NRS World recently, and if you want to be a part of that community, please feel free to subscribe. It'll help us grow the channel to get you the best geopolitical guests that we can come up with and to help you stay informed. See you over there.